And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're coming to you live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in beautiful, sunny, summertime Baltimore. Great to have you with us, friends. Thanks so much for joining us for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. And if you have been listening to the broadcast for some time, you know that each and every Thursday we play a tape message from the founder of our broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens. Today will be no exception. We'll be playing a message from Pastor Stevens, the archive ministry of his preaching and teaching, which covers several decades. But today's message is the heartbeat of God, and we encourage you to stay tuned to that. It'll be coming up momentarily. We'll be listening to that message along with you right here in our studio, and we'll share that message with you today in three different portions. And then we will take a break after those three respective portions, and we'll again discuss what we've heard and then invite you to our discussion as well a little later in the broadcast. When those phone lines are open, we hope that you will join us. And to do so, just pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. And the local number, for those of you that are tuning in to our broadcast today in the Baltimore area, that's 410-483-3700. Looking forward to hearing from a number of you. We certainly hope so. I do want to thank you for taking the time to join us. Hope you'll stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. I'd like to welcome all of you that are listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and all of the various podcasts that you can listen to the Grace Hour on, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Audible, Stitcher, just to name a few. And of course, those of you that are listening to us live, want to welcome you, and those of you that will catch up with us later and archive today's broadcast, thanks for tuning in and listening to the broadcast. It's been a good week here on the Grace Hour. This theme, what it means to have a heart on fire. And it's interesting, Pastor Steve, who is joining us in the studio today, the summer months, we know that the heat comes, especially here in the mid-Atlantic states in the Baltimore area. The real challenge for believers everywhere is keeping their hearts on fire during the summer months.
There was an article that came to me in an email. I subscribe to a couple of these pastors' websites, and it was focused just on that. The people who leave your church in the summer. And I know there are traditional churches throughout cities, particularly in the East, and Maryland is sort of between East and Northeast and Southeast, but some churches, they just
shut down.
Yeah, it's just like, we're not going to compete with that. And that's never been like sort of a pattern for us. As we're related to this ministry of Greater Grace, Summer Harvest has always been a part of it. We have neighborhood outreaches that we've done the past couple years that have been, well, for several years, but the neighborhood outreaches in the past couple years have really targeted youth who are there, and it's kind of interesting. I remember someone saying if you go on, it used to be like we really focused on a Saturday morning outreach and like kids are not up as much.
They're
but
sleeping.
If you go in the evening, late afternoon, early evening, kids are up. And maybe even into the late night, you might find kids up. But that's the idea of focusing your ministry and your attention on, seeing people having a pattern of a consistency even during the summer is vacations are important. We just had one. My family and I were at Bethany Beach last week and we enjoyed that. But it is, to sort of shut your whole church life, Christian life down for a couple of months in the summer seems kind of interesting, because tomorrow is July 15th. The summer's practically,
we're almost at the end.
Yeah.
Before
it's only 6 weeks to go. And Baltimore, it's like, I can understand. It's like the siesta. Like I was in Spain one summer, and when the temperature in the south of Spain gets up there, you try to go to a restaurant after between 2 and 8. And it's like, no. You know, it's siesta
time.
It's like, you know, and I can understand like that kind of thing. But then if you, after 8 o'clock, man, we were walking around Madrid. You talk about how many people were out, kids kicking a ball everywhere. So keeping your heart on fire, keeping your heart warm, keeping your focus on, you know, walking with God during summertime is maybe it's something that you have to do by decision, intentional, as they say. That word has become a word in our vocabulary.
That's a key word.
Yeah.
We really have to guard our hearts against a spiritual siesta.
Yeah, I guess so.
A prolonged spiritual
siesta.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between siesta and Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, and we know that Sabbath is about, you know, contemplating, meditating, eating a little bit, you know, the feasts of the Old Testament. Those were designed to bring people together to talk about God and eat to his honor. And so, I mean, there's a, you know, rest is important, but siesta seems to be checking out. So no siestas.
Amen. No
hearts
spiritual
on fire.
Siestas. Yeah. Keep that fire burning throughout even the summer months, which is a challenge, no doubt. But again, as you said, if you're intentional, that's going to make all the difference. And with the uptick of activity, spiritually speaking, in our ministry and a lot of other ministries, I'm sure, there's a connection between that activity being connected to the heartbeat of God. And that's going to be the message today from Pastor Stephen. So we're going to go to the first portion of his message today, and then we'll be back with you live in our studio, make some comment about what we just heard, and then we'll follow that up with the second and third portions today. So without further ado, let's begin today's message from Pastor Stephen's entitled, The Heartbeat of God.
Paul said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquilus. Greet them, because they would lay down their neck for me," he said. Then he said, "Phoebe, she's a faithful servant of the church. Whatever her business is in the Lord, you be sure and help her in her business." He wasn't a woman hater. He thought Phoebe was all right. He thought the church ought to cooperate with what she wanted to do with the Lord. He didn't think she ought to sit down and do nothing. He thought that she counted as a special gem in the corporate body. And then after honoring and saluting every single one in Romans 16, he wasn't insecure. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't always thinking in the suspicious realm. He said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." For us, it's a handshake, which is acceptable in our age. But he wasn't living in insecurity. There was emotion in the love. There was feeling in the expression. There was a heartbeat of Christ involved in the relationship. It wasn't cold or passive or indifferent. It was sweet and beautiful and thoughtful and heartwarming. And that's the way Christianity ought to be. It ought to beat with a heartbeat of the Lord Jesus. And then I thought of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and I thought of what he said. Before he ever said, "I thirst," he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in Luke 23:34. Before he ever said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," thinking of himself, he said, "Woman, behold, there's thy son that will take care of you," John. Before he ever said anything about, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Before he ever said that, he poured out his heart and poured out his love for everyone around him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the beauty of that love, in the royalty of his own dignity, in the majesty of his own divinity, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed and prayed. But before he ever prayed for himself, he put the interest and concern of others first. And that's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 14:14, he had compassion on the multitudes and was moved with compassion. In Matthew 15:32, again he was moved with compassion. In Luke 19:41, again over Jerusalem he wept, moved with compassion. In John 11:35, he wept at Lazarus' grave. Again he was moved with compassion. In Matthew 23:37, he wept again at a second time over the city. And again he was moved with compassion. And he said, "How many times I had gathered you unto me, as a hen gathers her chicks
chicken under her wings, but you would not. Again, he was moved with compassion. The heartbeat of Jesus Christ was come to earth to visit the earth, identify myself with sinful men, finally take their sins on my body, suffer as a guilty murderer and liar and sinner and adulterer, and suffer and pay the price for their sins. I love them. I'll give myself for the world. They've done nothing to deserve it. But I'll give myself to the world because I love them and I want to help them. And so he did shed his blood for the world, always considering the world and not his fellowship with the Father, not his heavenly fellowship with God the Father and all the angels, but he considered the world and he wanted to lay down his life because he loved people. He just loved people. The little children he picked up and held in his arms in Mark 10 and 13. And when the disciples rebuked the parents and said, he's tired, in so many words, he's weary, don't bother him, immediately in the exhaustion of his terrible schedule because he walks so many miles during a day, he said, don't do it. Suffer these children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And the heartbeat of God was not going to turn away a child, because that child wanted to be in the arms of Jesus, and Jesus was just about to let the child come in his arms. And when that woman in Luke 7, 38 through 46 came in Simon the Pharisee's home and began to wipe Jesus' feet with the tears which she'd shed and then her hair, when she came in and the Pharisee Simon rebuked her and thought she was a cheap woman, for which she was at that time a cheap woman. But Jesus Christ in his heartbeat was not to condemn her. His heartbeat was to forgive her, to lift her up, to save her, to make a woman out of her, something other than a woman of the street, but to make a woman of God. And so he did. And before she left, in verses 48 through 50, he repudiated the condemnation of Simon and looked at this woman as if she was a queen. And he said, thy faith has made thee whole. And that was the heartbeat of Christ.
Well, there's the first portion of today's message from Pastor Stevens entitled, The Heartbeat of God. And just consider, again, all of those different illustrations that he brought out from the Gospels and the compassion that was in the heart of Christ. You know, that word speaks of the fact that we share in the passion that's found in God's heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, it brings us together and we become partakers of the same love for people, the same care for people. And we actually start to discover that we're sharing the very heart of God with other people.
That's true. Two points that I think we're talking about, two women here. At the beginning of the clip, he talked about Phoebe and he called her a gem in the corporate body. That's like women are gems in the corporate body. And then the last woman here, she was considered cheap by Simon. And, you know, it's a wonder how she got into the table there. Somehow she found her way through the back door, through the kitchen. Maybe she knew the help or something, but she made her way to Jesus' feet as they were sitting around the table ready to eat. Here comes this woman crying on his feet, anointing them, wiping that with her hair. It's, you know, just the, you know, what is your heart towards that woman's cry for that? It's like, and we know that the idea of others, that poem that Pastor Stevens quotes every now and then, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. I remember him reading that poem. I think it's a John Rice poem or a Jack Hiles poem or something, or maybe one of those poetry books that Pastor Stevens liked to read from every now and then. But that is really the way to align our hearts with the heartbeat of God is to think of others. And Paul was communicating the heartbeat of God when he's saying, you got to consider Phoebe and all these women who are serving in the body as gems. And this is an instruction, I think, to leaders. You know, this is, don't, you know, be, you know, Jesus had more women around him than anybody else, really. They were following him and they were there at the cross, and they were there at the tomb early in the morning while the other guys were hiding out.
That's right.
And then this woman who was desperate desperate to, you know, to thank him, you know, give thanks, because, you know, this expression that she did in washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair was certainly, there was a change that had gone on, and she was grateful for that. So thinking of others and the children, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me. It's like, you know, women and children, you know, they are the weaker members of our society. I'm sorry. Sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. In spite of what may be communicating right now, there is a difference between women and children. And now women and children, Jesus said, let them come unto me. Let them be forgiven. Let them be, you know, a part of my purpose.
Yeah. Well, women and children, especially at this time, of the Gospels were written, especially mean, children, my understanding was, as Christ, you know, took up these children in his arms, they were despised in their culture. In other words, the whole role of a parent was to drive out from the child the childishness as soon as possible, so that they would become adults and would be able to make a contribution to society. So they were rejected. They were despised. This is what shocked his disciples, that these children were coming to him, and they were so overwhelmed. Jesus, why would you even look at them, pay attention to them? And women, they fell into that same category.
Yeah.
They just did not have any status in their culture at that time. And, you know, it's interesting, that passage that he spoke from, Luke chapter 7, again, the Pharisee Simon, he's throwing the party. This woman, she's crashing the party. And at one point, the Pharisee said to himself, that's fascinating, he said it to himself and said, if this man, referring to Jesus, were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. There's a lesson there. Don't think anything you don't want Jesus to know.
That's true.
He is God. He knew what Simon was thinking. But the question that he asked to Simon, and I find that this is fascinating, he turned to Simon and says, do you see this woman?
Mm.
Wow. I guess we could ask ourselves the same question when it comes to compassion, when it comes to having the heartbeat of God. Do we see people the way God sees them?
Wow.
Or do we just do the easy thing, which is what? Label them. Just label them. Don't love them. Just label them. Oh, that's the homeless person. That's the divorcee. That's the alcoholic. Do you know their name? No. I just know their pain. That's all I know about them. Hmm. Jesus said to him, do you see her? What a question.
Well, the Gospels, more than maybe any literature, were so counter to the culture that they were written in. And you think about, just even in the Jewish culture, how easy it was for a man to write a bill of divorcement and send his wife away. And Jesus was asked this, like, and Jesus said, God gave you this because of the hardness of your heart. And it's like, yes, if you're a hard-hearted man and you want to send your wife away, then maybe the compassionate thing for me to do is to give you an out, so that the woman can go on and have a life without your hard heart. You know, that's the way I take that. And then to think about, like, you're right, children, they were often like promised in marriage as soon as, especially the girls, as soon as they were able to bear children, let's get them out of the house and into a husband situation. And, you know, this is, you know, 14, 15 years old. These girls were, you know, possibly Mary was 15 or 16.
Right.
When the angel came to her and she was, you know, conceived of the Holy Spirit. So we know that this is the whole structure of society. And then we tend to think of Western values as applicable to this age. But if you read any kind of history in the Greek culture, forget the Bible. You know, I don't know. Well, don't forget the Bible. Remember the Bible. Sorry. I shouldn't say that. But let's look in like a natural or a more secular record of the Roman era and the Greek era and any kind of era from that time. And you don't find, you know, women being honored or cherished the way they are in the Gospels,
That's
especially
right.
the Gospel of Luke. We see, you know, women doing all kinds of things that were sort of out of the cultural norm there, and then recognized for it. And like, even the fact that Martha, like, we tend to talk about Martha's cumbrance there, and she's like really distracted, but let's show there's Jesus allowing Martha to come and question him. And like, that's like a, that, culturally speaking, that's like a big game changer for women, that Martha felt so free in the presence of Jesus to say, you know, you should be telling her to help me, you know?
That's right. It's incredible. Yeah. The Gospels, Jesus himself elevated the place of women. Make no
That's
mistake
right.
about it. Well, let's get back to our message from Pastor Stevens. We'll continue our discussion here in the studio after we listen to the second portion of his message entitled The Heartbeat of God.
When a religious Pharisee who was an intellectual and a scribe and a teacher and very religious came unto him, the heartbeat of Jesus did not turn Nicodemus away. He was concerned for Nicodemus. He wasn't just about to condemn this Pharisee who went against him because of ignorance. And Nicodemus was born again and saved because the heartbeat of Christ wanted to save this intellectual, religious man who was on the wrong track. When Zacchaeus in Luke 19 was in the tree and a crooked treasurer and a publican, and when he was in the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ was not just about to go by when somebody was interested, when somebody was guilty, when someone was sinful, when someone was burdened down with sin and they were trying to find out what he was like. He stopped and the multitude stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, shocked and surprised and astonished, was told to come down by the master who was seeking a little man in a little tree. And Zacchaeus came down, and the master was not just to talk to him or rebuke him. He said, I want to go to your house to eat. He wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to eat with a sinner and a cheap person that was renounced by the social strata of his day. But he asked Zacchaeus if he could come. He went on house-to-house visitation and had dinner with a crook. And when he did, when he got there in Luke 19, he looked into the eyes of the crook and he said, do you know that salvation has come to your house today? And Zacchaeus didn't know exactly what happened. And then all of a sudden he did, because the revelation of the master in his presence began to flood him with grace and mercy. And he knew that he was saved because Jesus Christ had a heartbeat for crooked publicans. When that woman in John chapter 8 felt so guilty and condemned at the expense of the Pharisees who caught her in the act of adultery, oh, how easy it would have been to have been angry. How easy it would have been to say, stone her, she's filthy, she's unclean. How easy it would have been to embarrass her with a sarcastic remark. That would have been easy for holiness, for perfection, for justness in the person of the master who never did sin, who never could touch sin, who couldn't even look upon it. And Habakkuk 1 and 13, who couldn't even behold it, who hated it in Isaiah 43 and in Psalm 45, 7. But the master did not do that because he had a heartbeat. And that heartbeat said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And the heartbeat of Christ was not to condemn, but to forgive. Because in John 3, 18, he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the heartbeat of Jesus was to save her. The heartbeat of Jesus was to forgive her. The heartbeat of Jesus was to set her free. And the heartbeat of Jesus was to deliver her from the terrible, sarcastic, embarrassing tactics of her false accusers. Not false because she wasn't doing it, she did do it, but false because their attitude was cheap and motivated by selfish greed. The heartbeat of Jesus. The heartbeat of God. I'm certain that one morning a week at the altar for early morning prayer will be no problem when you have the heartbeat. I'm convinced that prayer meeting on Thursday nights will be no duty or problem when you have the heartbeat. And I'm convinced tonight that miles mean nothing when you have the heartbeat. Miles mean nothing. I'm convinced that when the heartbeat of God is moving on our hearts, that compassion, the constraint of love in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, that all the beauty of the vision of God to get the message out to a lost world, to help those that are weak and suffering, and those that are hungry and starving, and those that are lonely and suffering from guilt and condemnation, and all the terrible results of sin in a mixed up world system. I'm convinced that when we have the heartbeat of God, we'll have that vision. I remember yesterday a lady, maybe some of you heard her. She said in Calcutta, India, of all the suffering in the world, of pains and starvation and leprosy, there was something worse. And she said it was people that are not loved. They're in the worst state. She said, I've seen all the privation and starvation and poverty and all the sickness and all the terrible things that disease and sickness and pain can do. But she said, sir, there's one thing that's worse, somebody that has no one to love them. And when you have the heartbeat of Christ, you have a way of knowing who they are. You have a way of being led to them. You have a way of knowing what to say. You have a way of being the revelation of Jesus Christ in the person of your humanity with the very cause of his own divinity manifesting and effectively working out his very compassion toward them. You have a way of being the one available to the Lord Jesus and to find out who they are that have no one to love them. Listen carefully. We don't need more money, and we do not need bigger and better churches. We do not need better teachers. We do not need better books. We do not need more entertainment. We do not need more services. But we do need the heartbeat of Jesus Christ.
Some great thoughts in that second portion of today's message. And again, the heartbeat of God is indeed what we need. I love those statements. He said that, you know, prayer is not difficult when you have the heartbeat of God. Compassion is not something that you have to try to work up when you have the heartbeat of God. Miles that you might travel and great distances, that's not difficult when you have the heartbeat of God. And preaching the gospel to the lost is not difficult when you have the heartbeat of God.
I think the thing, and you said it last night, I think, in your message about the gift of righteousness and the work of righteousness, which is not our own. You can listen to Pastor Love's message here from our Wednesday night service at ggwo.org. Go to the sermon archive. I think it's probably a button posted there because it's the most recent sermon that we've had from our pulpit. But you said that. I think that's the thing, like the heartbeat of God, trying to create the heartbeat of God through our own efforts is a losing proposition. John the Baptist said something very great at the end of John chapter 3. John chapter 3 begins with this encounter with Nicodemus, you must be born again. But at the very end of that chapter, John is being questioned by some of his hardcore followers, like, hey, Jesus, his guys, they're working in on our business here. They're baptizing. And John said, you don't understand who I am, do you? I told you, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. His church is being formed. That's going to be his bride. I'm rejoicing in this. He must increase. I must decrease. And I think that's, we talked about this at our Bible study in Dundalk on Tuesday, just that we're going through the Gospel of John. And what John the Baptist said is like, the point is not me making myself decrease. The point is like, allowing him to increase. And like the Holy Spirit will shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. That's a promise from Romans. And so for us to think that we can create compassion and create our own way of compassion, I mean, people are trying to do it, right? There is like all kinds of philanthropic, did I say that right? charity organizations, very wealthy, wealthy people. Wealthy, wealthy people, you know their names. They set aside some money to try and create a sense of compassion in their lives, but are they leading people to the thing that changes them now and for eternity? And I think like that's the point. You made it pretty well last night. Like when we look to Jesus and receive his righteousness, then we become people who want to carry his heart with us, and we become people who share his love, not because of anything that we have worked up. Like prayer becomes, yes, Holy Spirit, shed your love abroad in my heart. I want to love God more. I can't work it up, but I can allow, you know, I can allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Just like you said, the confessional thing last night, it was so good. Yeah, I used to have a lot. They used to sign me like, you know, I felt the same way. What, 10? 10? Are you kidding me? 10? David Trageser only has to do 4. I have to do 10? It's like, you know, and that never changed my love for God, you know, just because I said these prayers 10 times. It's like, you know, I felt like, you know, I had, you know, played around and I paid the price. And sure. I thought the price was a little bit too high.
It's true. The heartbeat of God, like everything in our Christian lives, is to be received. We cannot develop it. Think about it. God's love. How do we where does God's love for others come from? The Holy Spirit sheds it abroad in our hearts in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And the heartbeat of God, the fact that we can have a heart like God's heart, is something to be received. And I just love that statement that Pastor Stevens made when he was referring to Zacchaeus. And we read about his story in Luke chapter 19. He had dinner with a crook.
That's right.
I mean, we could ask ourselves, when's the last time you had dinner with a crook? Right? Or when's the last time you reached out to somebody that was really hurting? When's the last time that you had compassion on a lost soul? When's the last time you saw someone in trouble and were moved by the grace of God that you personally have received to give that grace to them? These are great questions.
That is.
Great questions.
And if you're wanting your heart to be warm and on fire, these are questions that you allow yourself to be asked. Yes, you know, Jeremiah 17:9, very true. We are deceitful, desperately wicked. That's the thing. I'm going to say something here. I know that there's a doctrine, and we hold to it, you know, like total depravity. We can read about it. This was not our original design. We were designed to be fruitful and multiply, and the fruitfulness I tie to the Book of Galatians. We were designed to live in the fruit of the Spirit, fellowship with God, but we know what happened in the garden and everything like that. And the total depravity, that's like, you know, okay, there's none good, no, not, there's no one righteous, no, not one. That's true. No one is righteous. That's the truth. But I mean, let's just like, you know, yes, but that idea of total depravity is not to pitch us into hopelessness. It's designed to make us see the need for the Spirit to transform us. And so, you know, we can get really caught up in the academic, theological kind of understanding of, yes, all men, God has concluded all men under sin. But let's not miss the other part of it, that the Holy Spirit has been sent into the world to, yes, to show man his sin, but also to point him to the cross and to say there's something that you can receive, and it's mercy, and that mercy can transform you and give you a brand new heart.
Yeah.
And no less of a scoundrel than the King Saul was given a new heart and made a new man. And that we read about. We focus on the latter part of Saul's life, him going to a witch and falling on his sword. But let's not miss the thing that happened at the beginning when he became king. He got a new heart and he was a new man because of the Spirit coming upon him in the ministry of the prophet Samuel.
Amazing. You know, when Jesus dealt with the woman caught in the act of adultery, just that response, his heartbeat said, even though everyone else condemns you, even though you have sinned, there's no question about
it. No doubt. Caught in the act.
Exactly. And of course, yes, these men have no right to judge you, for they themselves are sinners. I, on the other hand, I do have a right to judge you, but I'm not going to exercise that right, because that's not why I came into the world. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, why is it that so much of Christianity has a message of condemnation? I think it's because they don't understand the heartbeat of God.
Mm.
And if you don't understand the heartbeat of God, then it's going to be translated through your words and your actions and your activity, and you're going to condemn.
Yeah.
Whereas Jesus said, that prerogative belongs to me only.
Yeah.
And I refuse to exercise it, because instead of condemning, I'll bear their sins. I'll die in their place. I'll suffer the righteous judgment of God on their behalf. And that's what the cross is all about. And that's what's so glorious about the gospel. It's like you said about total depravity. It's a great starting point.
Yes.
It's a must.
Yeah.
But the reason why God tells us about total depravity is so that we can understand the glory of redemption.
Amen. And we'll look at the three people that Pastor pointed to here. Okay, we got the confused religious intellectual coming to Jesus by night. Jesus receives him. Then we got Zacchaeus, guilt-ridden. He's compromised his nation. He's a traitor, really, viewed as a total traitor for collecting taxes for Rome. But he's just got to see Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, I see you, and I'm coming to your house for dinner. All right. And then here's the one, the last one, the one caught in the very act. It's like dragged before Jesus. You know, it's like it doesn't matter how you get there. It's just like once you get there, receive his message.
There you go. Wow. Well, let's wrap up today's message from Pastor Stevens. This is the third portion, and then we'll be back with you. And we also want to mention that this is a good time for you to pick up that phone and give us a call. Mm. Now is a great time to fill up those lines. 800-338-7060. Toll free in all of North America, right here in Baltimore, if you're listening, 410-483-3700. And now part three of today's message entitled The Heartbeat of God.
When the Lord Jesus was suffering on the cross, the just for the unjust, and said, Father, forgive them. All I could think of tonight in the office was there was one who loved beyond sin. There was one who loved beyond failings. There was one who loved beyond pain. There was one who loved beyond duty. There was one who loved because of love. And how can you explain it? The greatest moments of my life as a Christian is the way God is helping me to grow in the heartbeat of Christ. The greatest moments that some of you are having is growing into the reality and the truth of his heartbeat. Listen, the way to discover Christ is to discover the needs of people once you've found him as your Savior, and once you've received him, and once he's living inside of you, and once you trust and read his word and pray and fellowship with him, then the way to discover Christ in reality is to give what you've got, which is Christ in you, to others. And that's the way to discover Christ. In Job 42 and verse 10, when he prayed for his friends, God gave him twice as much as he had. He discovered something by praying for others. Stephen, when he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge, in the 7th chapter of Acts, saw Jesus standing at the right hand. The way to discover Christ is to be concerned for others once you've received him as your own through salvation and once you study his word. The way to experience Christ is to experience his vision. The way to discover Christ is to enter into his very compassion, to his very purpose for coming, seeking the lost and loving the weak and helping the sick. The way to discover reality is to enter into reality. The way to discover life is to enter into his life for others and share it and lay it down. Lay it down so that it's a matter of giving Christ's life out through the death of the cross in yours, so that you can discover the reality of his life-giving, beautiful compassion in his life. Listen, I do not know how much longer we'll be here on earth. Everything that we do, we have the privilege of having the heartbeat of God. Every type of person in our congregation can have it. We do not have to have a keen mind to have it, no money. We do not have to be popular to have it. We do not have to dress well to have it. We can just have it when we come to the Lord Jesus and receive it moment by moment through the cross and through the word and through the needs of other people. I've never seen a day We've got so many people crying out from their soul, wanting somebody to stop and talk with them, wanting somebody to love them, wanting somebody to share with them, wanting somebody to listen to them. And oh, there's such a need for you to give up your self-life and enter into the heartbeat of God's life in sharing His life with them. At the expense of your body, at the expense of your own time, at the expense of your own success, you must go to the cross. Listen, He said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And they said, but Lord, we don't know when that happened. He said, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it unto me. And then He said, I was in prison and you came to visit me. And I thought of the man that had murdered someone, and in 8 years was out, the Mexican that gave the testimony that got saved in our prison ministry right over here one night. And I thought of how he got up and said, I used to kill and murder, and now I love souls in Jesus' name. And then I thought of another brother that gave his testimony. His family is restored. They're remarried, and they're happy. He was in prison, and we visited him. And inasmuch as we did it unto him, we did it unto Christ. Oh, the heartbeat of God in the ministry of compassion, the heartbeat of God that will share him in the various possibilities of life, in the various potentials. Oh, that God would raise up not just a handful, that God would raise up men and women and teenagers and young people who would burn with the heartbeat, who would be constrained by love, who would be dedicated to the task of the Great Commission in its balance and in its completeness, who would say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I've got your heartbeat. I will go. The insignificant job I'll help in, I want to be a helper, and I'll lay down my life for the body and for the leaders, and I'll lay it down. Lord, I'm available. I've got your heartbeat. It's the only reason I'm here. The other morning before early morning prayer meeting, I said that to the Lord. The only reason I'm here, Lord Jesus, is for your heart to beat, for your compassion to be ministered to and through me. The only reason I'm here is to be an instrument of your love, a method of your manifestation, a vehicle of your righteousness. The only reason I'm here is to be the suit for your indwelling spirit, to be the light bulb for your indwelling power. The only reason I'm here, Lord Jesus, is simply to manifest who you are. And so, Lord Jesus, may your heart beat through me today. Listen carefully. When we sing, when we teach our Sunday school classes, when we participate in the choir, whatever it is, may God help us to do it with a heartbeat. When we're listening in a small Bible study, when a teacher on a weeknight, do it with a heartbeat. When we pray, do it with God's heartbeat. Oh, may the Lord help us to have the heartbeat of the Master. In my closing moments, as they pierce his hands and pierce his feet, the body that's wounded for our transgressions, the body that has completely lost its beauty, is suffering on the cross. But never did his heartbeat stop. Never did he rebel against what he was doing. Never did he turn his back on his commission and purpose from God the Father. Never did he lose the vision for which he came to be crucified on a tree. Never did he react. Never did he retaliate. All that he said was, help me to get to the cross so I can finally suffer with my final death. Lord, help me because others need me. The world needs this redemption. Keep me alive until they can crucify me. And his heart kept right on beating. They couldn't persecute him to stop it. They couldn't hurt him to stop it. They couldn't be mean enough to stop it. His heart kept right on beating. And every time they hit him with a cat of nine tails 39 times, love in the form of blood spurted out of his body. And every time his back was macerated from the lacerations of the whip, he held his ground and love controlled his emotions and regulated his will and directed his mental attitude. And it was always the same. Forgive them. I love them to the end. Circumstances didn't make him indignant. The pressure of the cross did not make him change his attitude. It got sweeter and softer as he ministered and manifested the depth of his divinity in the royalty of his love and the splendor of his grace. And he just kept right on ministering love. And every time he suffered, love came from the expression of his soul. That was the heartbeat of Jesus.
Well, there you have the conclusion, friends, of today's message, the heartbeat of God, the heartbeat of Jesus. And, you know, I couldn't help but think in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, that's what God has given us. He said there, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. We, you know, think about it. God has taken our sick, diseased, sinful hearts and replaced them with his own heart. It's amazing.
You know, just that last climactic portion there, I think, you know, the question we could ask ourselves is, how do we have the heartbeat of God? How can we have a heart that's fueled by the fire of the Holy Spirit? How can we do that? It's thinking about the cross. He started talking about thinking about others, but really, you know, ultimately we have to see what happened at the cross and, you know, just the idea of Jesus setting his face toward that destination, knowing from before the foundation of the world that this would happen. And let's not diminish the incarnation and what it meant and how he felt and all of the pain, rejection, and trial that he went through as a real man on earth, though God the Son, a real man on earth. And he did that, the love, you know, we heard that, you know, pastor saying, with every blow of the whip, with every blood, with every drop of blood that was released in the pounding that he took, it was the love of God that could, that was expressed there. So really, it comes back to the cross and the Spirit. You know, people and loving people, really, unless we see the cross and allow the Spirit to show us the importance of the cross again and again, that's taking up your cross daily. And I think, you know, the idea of people saying, you know, it's my cross that I have to walk 5 miles to work. It's my cross that my car broke down. That's not it. The cross for all of us is the cross of Christ, and that's where Jesus has invited us to take up that cross in our minds, in our hearts every morning.
Amazing. And the statement, he made that statement that everybody is looking for somebody to love them. I remember reading the story of a young girl, a young teenage girl walking the streets of California. And in her heart,
yeah,
she said these words, I will give myself to the next person who loves me. Well, the next person that loved her was Charles Manson.
Wow.
The murderer who went on a murderous rampage back in the 1960s and was responsible for killing a number of people. And this young girl became a part of that.
Wow.
And even afterwards attempted to assassinate then-President Ford, Lynette Squeaky Fromm. She said those words, I will give my heart to the next person that loves me. And that person was Charles Manson. It's incredible. People are looking for somebody to love them. And if we as believers have God's heart, that's what they need. Because if we won't do it, the devil is saying, oh, I'll find somebody to love them. Of course, he'll take them down a path of destruction and ruin. Susan is waiting to join us on the Grace Hour. Susan, welcome. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Hi, Susan. Susan, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi,
good
morning. Go right ahead. Good morning.
I just can't even tell you. I'm so grateful for this message and for your comments. I was thinking, the heartbeat of God is so simple. And everything else is God's business and way too high for me to deal with. And all we have to do is walk in that heartbeat. And I just feel like I've been given a new heart all over again because of what you shared and what Pastor said in his message. And I just want to thank you both for the program and for being there always and being so faithful. And thank you for letting us just hear the word of God every day. and have our hearts renewed every day. And I feel like a new foundation has been laid with this heartbeat, having a heartbeat of God in every situation, just resting and relaxing and letting God do the work in us and through me toward whoever I'm with and whatever situation I'm in. So I'm grateful and thankful to you.
We can hear it in your voice. Thank you so much awesome. For the call.
A couple points Pastor made there about, like, about he talked about having a suit, you know. I thought, we don't want to be an empty suit. No, we want to wear the robe of righteousness. We don't want to be an empty suit of God. Rather, we want to wear the robe of righteousness. He made a couple of illustrations there. A light bulb, I want to shine out. I want to be plugged in the right way. But I was just thinking, when he said the word suit, you know, I just want to be a suit, or, you know, I guess we could say jar of clay. That's like a vessel of clay, as Paul pointed it out. But, yeah, we don't want to be an empty suit. We want to be filled with the love of God. We want to have the robe of righteousness on, you know, put on the robe of righteousness. Amen. Not on not a suit like that.
Yeah, I love that. A good point, too. We don't want to be empty suits. You know, he also made a statement in the beginning of the third portion that we listened to, which was, God helps me to grow in his heartbeat. And, you know, growing,
well, I think Susan was
reality.
Saying that, right?
Yeah.
She said she felt like this
right.
message has, like, started her over.
Exactly.
Her renewal.
And that's important, I think, for all of our listeners and ourselves, of course, to remember, because it's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process. We don't want anybody to listen to this message today and say, well, obviously, I don't have the heartbeat of God. Well, that's okay. You will find it. If it's your desire to have a heart like God's, it will happen. Growth will take place. And that's what Peter wrote in his last words, his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will take some time.
Yeah.
But it will happen.
Well, you said it, like Ezekiel 36. It's not a list of how you can get there. It's like, it's a gift. This is the gift that you're given. Come to me. You're weak. You're weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Abide in me. I mean, these are not words of striving and everything. Now, of course, we can read other passages, and Paul tells us about this, but it's like, you know, he always concludes by saying, it's not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved me.
Amen.
So, you know, even though you want to, yes, you want to live as a soldier of Christ, you want to live as an athlete for God, you want to be following, you want to develop a form of discipline, but don't look to yourself to develop that. Let's get the right coach, get the Holy Spirit, get the right fuel for your fire.
Amen. Well, let's go back to the phones. Pastor Steve, I believe it's Pastor Steve Perigallo, joining us live from the Baltimore area. Pastor Steve, welcome.
Hey, man, what a message. Oh, my God.
What a message indeed.
Last night, I mean, I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm so privileged just to hear this message. You know, just that we have the opportunity to hear a finished work message like that. And so I was so blessed to see that lady after service. She just came up to you and said, I've come here because I hear a finished work message. It's like, you know, what she said was really true. It's, to hear a message like this, it's such a privilege. And it's even more of a privilege to share it, you know. It's really something. You know, I'm so excited. Tonight we're going to do our June, July Live with the kids. And we have this group of kids in Baltimore that come together, and we're going to do, I had a plan to do the person of Christ with them. We've been doing who is Jesus, you know, what was his ministry, who is he, you know, and tonight I was going to do the garden and the cross, and then the last day I would do the resurrection. But I was thinking about that this morning, like why he kept praying, you know, if it be thy will, you know, take this cup, if it be thy will, you know, but if not, thy will be done. And he prayed that, you know, three times. And well, I think it's in all four Gospels. And I was like a little bit wondering why, you know. It's like, because it is, there's a lot of things you could ask yourself when you hear Christ pray that prayer. It's like, but one thing that you get from that prayer is that it wasn't just Christ's idea to die on the cross. Like, it wasn't just him saying, I'll give my life. It was the Father saying, I want you to give my life. And Christ saying, I will give my life. But you have the Father's heartbeat in there saying, no, you got to do it. You know, it's like, this is, you know, it was like, that's what hit me this morning. It was like, if Christ had prayed a different prayer, you know, and not said, if it be thy will, but I'm willing, I'll go, which we know is his heart, then maybe we would have thought, well, the Father didn't really, you know, but it was all Christ's idea, you know, and like, no, but it's like, it was the will of the Father that Christ would do it, you know.
Yeah.
It's so staggering.
I know. It's great. It's amazing. Yeah. Hey, Pastor Steve, thanks for those comments. We're going to try to squeeze in our final caller here today. And that would be Joni joining us from Indiana, Lebanon, Indiana. Joni, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for the Grace Hour and this broadcast. It breaks you. It just breaks you. But, you know, I think of, and as I was thinking of it, with every blow, the blood, and just that we can actually have his heartbeat, we can look around today, and it's chaos right now, and people are afraid, and people are hurting, and, you know, I'm a road chaplain, and someone will say, my daughter is dead, and it hurts so much, and yet I can say, I know a salve for that, I know a cure for that, or the person that says, nobody loves me, nobody accepts me, and we can say, I know a cure for that. That's what the Holy Spirit says as he points to Jesus and the Father, as he points to the cross and then to the empty tomb and says, I know a cure for that. But the thing is, it's like we walk around with this cure that we so bad want to give to people. And it seems so simple and that they have a hard time receiving it, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people, you know, we wish that everyone's heart was open to the gospel, but it's the truth is that some people reject it and turn it away. So, you know, I think we just focus on ourselves, our relationship, there's our soul. I come back to that verse in Psalm 119, my soul is continually in my own hand. This is what I have. And we'll be misunderstood sometimes, as Jesus was very often misunderstood, but he kept on loving, kept on healing. Right?
Yeah. And Joni, we can hear it in your voice. You have that compassion that we listened to in the message today. You have that love for people that we heard today in the message. So continue to pour that out. You have a cup that's overflowing, and we're thankful that you're interested in making sure that others become partakers of it.
Amen. Well,
that's it. We've wrapped up another broadcast. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for joining us in the studio today. We're going to be back tomorrow to wrap things up. Pastor Wright will be here joining us live on the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, so we hope you'll join us a little less than 24 hours from now. Thanks again for being with us today, friends. God bless you. And don't forget, you can still watch the lunch wrap that's happening here at the Greater Grace World Outreach online. Just go to the website and find out how you can do that. See you tomorrow.